So about a month ago, I was listening to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there was something in there that stood out to me and convicted me. So as I read this chapter, try guessing what that was. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Avoid profane chatter, for it will lead people into more and more impiety, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth by claiming that the resurrection has already taken place. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are utensils not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So there's a chapter, and if you guess disputing or arguing, you'd be absolutely right, because that was the thing that stood out to me and convicted me. And he mentions it three times in this chapter: to avoid wrangling over words, avoid profane chatter, and have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. And I can give you some examples of those. We can argue if one vehicle is better than another, or if Goliath was 9 feet tall, or is he 7 feet tall? Is the earth round, or is it flat? And I'm sure you can think of some things yourselves that would fall into that category. And I've learned that most of the time, arguments look like this. And it's called going in circles, because you just keep going around and don't get anywhere. And I've also learned that most of the time, you will not be able to convince the other people anyways. So it's better to just save your breath. So how can we have an argument or debate in a good way? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. This spring, when we were traveling up to Darren's wedding, while we were visiting the brothers in New York, we somehow got into an argument, and we were arguing for some time, and Andy was sitting there, and I don't think he even knew what we were arguing about. But after a while, he said, "I have the answer, love." And at first I thought, you know, it's not that we don't love each other. We were just having fun, having an animated argument. But later when I was thinking about it and trying to think what he meant by that, 1 Corinthians 13 popped into my mind. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So Annie was right. The answer is love. If we can have an argument with the attributes of love, it will be a good one. In fact, I don't think you could even call it an argument anymore. And remember, it takes two to argue. So if an argument is going in a bad direction, you can be the one to step back. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without complaining or arguing." And that was something that I was convicted of when I heard that chapter. So I thought I would share it with y'all. That's all I have. Open up for comments or corrections.
Amen, Brother Matthew. One thought, and I'll let someone else talk. Well, who's the greatest? Is it Javi or Compa or me or something like this? So, you know, Jesus heard it. And when Jesus heard them arguing about who's the greatest, what did he do? Come on, what did they do? Took out a towel and stopped washing their feet. May the Lord be magnified. Let us follow that example.
Yeah, I mostly just want to say amen to that. I'm also convicted with that. Somewhat ashamed, just how I think I fall short in those things. But this morning, Sasha was asking me about Matthew 5, where it talks about the adversary, that we're going to court, and like what's that all about. Matthew 5, 30-something, says that if you're going to court with the adversary, and there you remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift and go reconcile with your brother, and then bring your gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the church, and the church deliver thee to the officer, and you'll be cast into prison. And then a thought, I think what I get out of that is Jesus really conditioning his disciples here to work together, that priorities are that, you know, he's got work for them, but if they have big differences, they need to work this out, because they are on their way to the courts and God is the judge. So that's my thoughts. Thank you for sharing.
Just wanted to say I appreciate that too, and I wanted to say amen. Thank you, Brother Matthew, for putting that out there and challenging us with that, because I think I need that challenge, and I've thought before or wondered, you know, like what's the difference between an argument and a discussion? It seems like somehow an argument carries negative connotation, like there's something in an argument. Like in negativity or trying to – You know, like, what's the difference between a debate and an argument? They, you could almost call them the same thing, and yet somehow, like, when you read that chapter that you read, 2 Timothy 2, it seems like arguing carries a very negative connotation. Like, there's something about it that isn't building a trust. It's creating further divide. And maybe that is it, that you were talking about love, that love is the missing ingredient. Maybe it's the difference between hashing something out with love and hashing something out without it. It was thought-provoking. Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just want to say I've been very edified by what was shared, and I think that that's very something that we need to be reminded of. I know I do. And to Robert's comment, you know, I long to be part of that kind of response to what would be considered a New Testament response. Another way to contrast it, I guess, would be like the difference between carnality and spiritual, and that the spiritual man can put away all those things about having his way and justice and all those things, and commit himself to God like Christ did, and set an example, and forgive those who wronged us, for the desire of those to come to repentance, and not they would have mercy instead of sacrifice, as Jesus pointed out. So.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
All the paths of the Lord
are mercy and truth. Oh,